recycle bin. So there's Bible, or take out your phone. And turn to Isaiah 40 and Luke 12. And for those of you who are visiting with us this morning, we're in the midst of an Advent series. Advent is that season before Christmas where we prepare for the coming Savior. And in our culture, we kind of skip over Advent. We like to go right to the Christmas tree. There's lots of decorations. The lights are out. The stores are playing Christmas music. There's trees everywhere. And we got our tree all set yesterday. We went out to the tree farm, cut it down, and put it in our house. And it looks all nice, doesn't it? Everything looks pretty. The bows are tied just right. The lights sparkle on the outside. Everything looks nice. But when we take time and we look within, on the inside during Advent, things aren't always so nice, are they? They're not all tied. The bows aren't all tied. The lights aren't all sparkling. Some are out. Some are dim. Some are a little tired. Some are a little weary. And we have these things going on in our hearts and lives. The outside looks nice, but inside, we have wants. We have things that we want changed. We have desires. Things look nice on the outside, but we worry. There's things that we worry about. Things look nice on the outside, but we waver. We waver between our allegiance to different things, devotion to different things. Looks nice on the outside, but some of us are weary. We are worn out. We are tired. The good news for us is that in the midst of our weariness, in the midst of our waffling, our wavering, in the midst of our worries, in the midst of our wants, there's one who's coming. There's one who is coming. There's one who's coming who's going to bring light. There's one who's coming who's going to bring light to all those dark, worn out, worried, wavering places. And that's what Advent's for. To prepare. To make room. To make room for Him to come. To come within. So we are going to do that. We talked about wants last week. This morning we're going to talk about our worries. So turn with me to Isaiah 40, page 511, if you're using one of the Bibles on the table. We're going to look at a few verses here, and then we're going to turn to Luke 12. Hear these words from Isaiah 40. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. Here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 12, page 737, beginning at verse 22. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all these such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, people of God, this morning we're going to begin with a little test. All right, we're going to begin with a little test. And it's a recognition test. Okay? A few moments, a song is going to be played for you over the speakers. And as soon as you recognize the tune in the song, I want you just to raise your hand and keep it up. Okay? So are you ready? All right, here we go. Listen. Yeah, you know it. Yeah, that is. You ready to sing along? It's coming. You ready? Here we go. Come on now.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note.
What's the phrase?
Don't worry.
There it is. Come on now.
Be happy.
Don't sing like people in West Michigan. Come on now. Here we go. Go.
In every life we have
had some trouble.
When you worry, you
make it double. Don't worry, right? What's he say? Be happy. There you go.
Don't worry. Be happy now.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Be happy.
Don't worry. Be happy now. All right. There we go. All right. Great. Thank you. Thank you. You guys know this song? All right. All right. It's kind of a popular song, a little catchy tune there, yeah? Makes you feel good inside. It's the most famous title, most famous song of jazz singer Bobby McFerrin. Right? The song was originally released in 1988 and garnered its singer, its creator, a lot of critical praise. Don't Worry, Be Happy reached the number one on the Billboard Hot 100, and it's McFerrin's only hit. That's all he's got. Don't worry, be happy. But he's happy about it. That's right. He won a Grammy for Best Pop Vocal Performance in 1988 for this song. Don't worry, be happy. Every time I hear of it, part of me goes, yeah, right. Don't worry, be happy now, he says, and I go, yeah, right. Easy for you to sing, Bobby. Right? Don't worry, be happy. Much easier said than done. Right? Much easier said than done. When I look at my life and the different things that are going on, there are all kinds of things to worry about. Do you have things in your life that you worry about? Or am I the only one? I know I'm not the only one who worries about things. How do I know this? I know this by experience. I know this through conversations. And I know this through statistics. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States, affecting 40 million. 40 million adults in the United States over age 18 have some sort of anxiety disorder. They're worried. They're worried. Anxiety disorders cost the U.S. more than $42 billion a year, almost one-third of the country's $148 million mental health bill. A lot of worried people. Stress that continues without relief can lead to a condition that's called distress. A negative stress reaction. I like that. A negative stress reaction. And what does that stress do? What does it do to our bodies? It disturbs the internal balance. It disturbs the equilibrium within. It leads to all kinds of physical symptoms such as headaches, upset stomachs, elevated blood pressure, right? Chest pain, sexual dysfunction, problems sleeping. You ever lay awake at night? Depression, panic attacks, other forms of anxiety and worry. Research shows that stress can also bring on and worsen symptoms of other diseases. Stress is the link to six of the leading causes of death: heart disease, cancer, lung ailments, accidents, liver disease, and even suicide. People, God, what do these statistics tell us? It tells us as a people we worry. Right? We worry. We worry about all kinds of things. Tell me, what are some of the things that you worry about? I know you worry. What do you worry about? Money. Money. We worry about money. What else do we worry about? What's that? Safety. Safety. What do you worry about? Children. What do you worry about? Health. What do you worry about? Future. What's coming? What's coming down the road? What else do you worry about? What do we worry about? School. School. What's that? Everything. Honest person, thank you very much. You know why they laugh? Because they worry about everything. Right? We do. We worry about everything. In the midst of all this, what does Jesus tell us in Luke 12? Bingo. Right? He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. He gives this command, right? Do not worry. Do not worry. Why does Jesus say this? He goes on to give us two logical reasons. First reason is this, he says, because worrying, in verse 25, is useless. It's useless. Jesus asks a rhetorical question of his listeners to make this point. He says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to their life? We worry, we worry. What does it do? Does it add life to us? Does it add on hours to the meter? Does it put more sand in the top of the hourglass? No, actually the opposite is true, isn't it? When you and I worry about something, the things we gain are benefits like this: sleepless nights, ulcers, headaches. This is what we gain. We don't gain more time, we gain more pain. One study I read this week shows a correlation between stress and molecular aging. Our worry stresses out our cells, so they don't like to reproduce. So then life, it takes away life, these researchers show. Worrying doesn't add life, it takes life. For Jesus says, don't do it. Second reason he says in verse 26 is it doesn't help. It doesn't help. Since you cannot do this very little thing, he says, why do you worry about the rest? Since you can't add life to yourself through worrying, why do you worry about the rest? So many of the things that we worry about in our life are out of our control, aren't they? Do you realize this? In West Michigan, for example, we get freaked out about the weather. You ever notice this? The news here makes a huge deal about the weather. And some of us who are older here, I don't know what they did 50 years ago, 60 years ago. Were they just amped up about the weather? The world is coming to an end. There's all these alerts. Snow is coming. Of course snow is coming. We live in Michigan. It's going to rain. Whoa! But can we control the weather? No. Right? We can only control what we wear in the weather. There's no bad weather, just bad clothing. Right? But we worry. How about other drivers? Somebody mentioned safety before. We can control our car, but we can't control the other cars or trucks that are on the road. The ones that come real close to us as they're nodding. Or how about our families? Pretty soon we're going to get together for Christmas, aren't we? Can we control what they're going to do or what they're going to say when we get together? No. No. We can't, can we? We can't control how that's going to go. Crazy aunt's going to say crazy things, isn't she? She will. That's what she does. Worrying can't change. Worrying can't control. So Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about the rest. He gives us three other reasons from nature or from creation. Three reasons why we shouldn't worry. First reason is, he says, because God cares for the birds. He says, consider for a moment ravens. I find this an interesting tactic. What happens when we worry about something? Doesn't it become kind of all-consuming? Have you ever gotten in what I call a downward worry spiral? Worrying about money, you're worrying about money, you're worrying about money. Where's it going to come from? Where's it going to come from? Where's it going to come from? And the world all of a sudden just gets narrow, and it's like, what is going to happen? And the world just gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until you're only focused on that. What does Jesus do here? He says, take some time. Let's consider something else for a moment. Let's put the worry aside and let's consider ravens. What do you know about ravens? He wants us to focus on ravens. So I said, what do I know about ravens? What does anybody know about ravens? We have to consider ravens this morning. Tell me, what do you know? What do you know about ravens? They're really smart. They are. Yeah. Gerald Bach, in his commentary, reminds us that in antiquity, they were the least respected of the birds. People didn't care for ravens. What do ravens eat? You know? They're scavengers. That's right. So when you nail that squirrel on the side of the road, what's going to come and get it? A raven. Right? A raven's going to come. They're scavengers. They keep things clean and tidy. They pick up, right, and eat decaying matter. What do you know about the storeroom a raven has? What do you know about their barn? How big is it? Bingo, it's not. That's right, it's not. Ravens don't have storehouses. Ravens have to find their food as they go. They don't labor. Right? They come across food. Jesus says, consider the ravens. Consider how God provides for them who don't have storerooms, who don't have retirement accounts, who don't have health plans, who don't have nice places to live, right? Who have to find their food as they go. He says, consider them for a moment. Consider them in light of the worry that you have on your heart right now. They aren't able to stash or store, yet God provides for them, Jesus says. Then he asks an important question, doesn't he? The question is this: are you more valuable than a bird? Are you more valuable than a raven? He asks. To which we would answer, yes. Right? I am more valuable than a raven. God cares about ravens. So what does that mean about me? Do you think this morning that God cares about you more than he does a raven? That's an important faith statement. Right? Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, I'm more important than a raven. If we believe that, that's important, Jesus says. He says, consider the ravens and consider that you are more important than them. God cares for them. He cares for you. You don't like birds. How about flowers? He says, consider the lilies. Consider the lilies. They don't labor or spin. They don't work for their beauty. Yet God cares for them. Or a man after my own heart, Jesus says, consider the grass. Former lawn man, right? Consider the grass. Grass is so common, it's everywhere. There's all kinds of different forms. Our society spends a lot of money on lawn care and taking care of grass. That's very common. But grass is cut down. And it's either mulched or it's thrown into the fire. Because it's so common, it's not worth a whole lot. But God takes care of that. How about you? Are you more important than grass? Are you more important than grass? If God closed the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, if God closed the lilies, is he going to care about you? Does God care about me more than flowers and grass? Well, yes. Yes, he does. Therefore, Jesus says again in verse 29, he says, do not be anxious. He repeats that command, do not be anxious, don't worry. As disciples, as followers of him, we are called not to be anxious about all these things. And the word anxious here means that hovering between hope and fear, the back and forth, the shifting between one conviction and another, between insecurity and stability. Kind of don't get caught on the teeter-totter. Don't get caught in the middle of the ping-pong match. Why? Because of the nature of your God. Jesus says, the Father in heaven knows what we need. He knows what we need. Jesus says, the Father in heaven cares for his children. Because they're important to him. You are important to him. How's the prophet Isaiah say it? It says, the Father tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them where? Close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Jesus says, security comes Security comes from the realization that God actively cares for you and for me. That's where security is found. That's where security is found. The point that Jesus is making is that God does and will care for us so that we don't need to be anxious. How does God care for us? Why don't we have to worry? You who bring good news to Zion, who go up high on a mountain, you who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, what? Here is your God. The sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him. See, his recompense accompanies him. God says, here is your God. How do we know that God cares for us? Why don't we have to worry? Because our God comes to us. He comes to us. And he lives within our midst. God cares for us by becoming one of us. By taking on human form. God didn't come as a bird. He didn't come as a flower. He didn't come as grass. No, he came as Emmanuel. God with us. Our God is not ignorant nor apathetic to the things that you and I are worried about. He's not. He's not stressed out. He's not ignorant or apathetic about the things that stress us out. That's what I'm trying to say. He entered into the midst of them. He comes and he lives among us in order to heal, in order to restore, and in order to redeem. For God came to provide life and to show us where it is found. He came to provide security in the midst of a world of uncertainty. He came to show us that life is found in him. People of God, you and I, we worry. We only worry about the things that are important to us. The things that we care about. The things that we're devoted to. We worry about our kids. We don't worry about other people's kids. We're concerned about other people's kids. But we worry about our kids. Why? Because we're devoted to them. Because they're important to us. What are the things that we worry about? We worry about things like our image, our security, our reputation, our well-being. And we worry about the image and the security and the reputation and the well-being of those that we love. We worry about these things because we are devoted to them and that they're important to us. We don't worry about the things that are not important to us. But the question we need to ask ourselves this morning is this, is life found in the things that we worry about? Is life found in the things that we worry about? Recall with me some of the things that we said. Somebody said, we worry about money. Is life found in money? No. Someone said, I think they said school. Right? Is life found in education? Is education the source of life? What about health? Somebody said health. Is life found in our health? Is that everything that life is? Is as long as we're healthy, then it's okay? What else did somebody say? Somebody said, those are the three things I remember. Does anybody else remember something else? Safety. Yes. Is life found only when we're safe? If so, there's a lot of people that live in unsafe places. We live in a very safe place, but there's a lot of people that are missing out on life. Is life reduced only to physical safety? When we step back and we consider this, as Jesus invites us to do, to just consider, right? Just step away and consider, we can say, no, it's not. Where is life found? Jesus says it's found in Him. this morning, Jesus invites us to devote our lives to Him. In the midst of all our worries, in the midst of all our uncertainty, Jesus is calling out to us. And He's saying to us, seek Me. Seek Me. Find life and find certainty in Me. Know that I am concerned about you and about the things that you're worried about too. In the midst of all that, though, seek Me, He says. In the midst of our worries this morning, we're invited to consider Christmas. To consider Christmas, and not like Target Christmas, but like Advent Christmas. Like Jesus being born Christmas. Consider that. And consider the nature of God in that gift to us. The nature of God that's revealed to us through the Christ child. Jesus says, consider that this morning. Consider for a moment a God who doesn't look down from afar, but who enters in. Who enters into an uncertain world. Who enters in both to break the power of evil with His strong arm, and also, like a shepherd, to gather up the broken in His gentle arms. That's how one commentator put it. I really like that. He enters into the world to do two things, right? To break the power. Isaiah tells us to break the power of evil with His strong arm. And also, like a shepherd, to gather up the broken in His gentle arms. Jesus says, come and seek Me. There's more to life than what you're worrying about most right now. Jesus says, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom. And these things will be given to you as well. And then in verse 32, the most repeated phrase throughout the Scriptures, what does He say? In the midst of our worries, He says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Find life in Me, Jesus says. Find certainty in Me. Pray with me this morning. Father in heaven, this morning, in the midst of our worries, and in the midst of all kinds of uncertainty, we take a few moments to heed Your invitation to consider. Father, we consider the ravens and how You care for and how You provide for them. Father, we take time to consider and confess this morning that we are more valuable to You than birds. Father, we take time to consider this morning that You know what we need. That You are not ignorant nor unaware, but that You know what we need. Father, we take time this morning to consider Christmas and Your great gift to us, Jesus, who came to break the power of evil and to gather up the broken in His gentle arms. Father, in the midst of our worries, we take time now to consider you and your great love for us. We take time to seek you and to remember that life and certainty can only be found in your kingdom. Father, as we continue to worship you now, and as we devote our lives to you this week and in the months and years to come, Lord, speak to us. Speak to us. Speak to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.